Blistering insight, well-researched fact, insightful comment. I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. But welcome, because this is none other than the world-famous Leicester City Pubcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and 2021 FA Cup winners too. And welcome to the Foss Arms tonight, where in situ we have myself, Tim, we have Killer. Good evening.
Good evening, Tim.
And Norm, good evening.
Good evening.
And a couple of notes from listeners asking if we could describe the Foss Arms a little more. So I'll do my best if you two want to add it. It's a bustling old-style boozer, really, isn't it? Classic wooden bar, four hand-pull pumps, all of which serve Trent Wales IPA.
No one in it.
Numerous optics behind the bar, which would normally be reserved for spirits.
But actually, drunk Labrador in front of the fire.
They also have IPA in the optics, too.
Crunch on the way to the toilets because you can't avoid the sport scratchings on the floor.
Although Ethel doing her best with the Henry Hoover, getting rid of them. But yeah,
full-breasted barman.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's
a him stroke. Him stroke she.
Yeah, never been sure about that person. And that's about it. And then it's just us waffling on, really. And we've had an email in from Mike in Iceland. So thanks, Mike. I do love it when we get.
He's been evacuated today because of the volcanoes.
That's rumbling along, isn't it? Mike, come back to Leicester, Mike. I mean, he just said, if the dribbling was as good as the waffle, we would win every game. Love the podcast, guys. Keep up the good work. So thanks, Mike, for getting in touch. Particularly international listeners, always good to hear from you. And a bit more detail on what life is like being foxholed wherever you are is also good as well.
Can I mention one here as well, please, Tim? On a slightly less positive note, one of our listeners, Gareth, has actually decided to switch off the podcast, claiming that we sound entitled, as in suggesting that we should not be in the championship. Now, that hurt me a little bit because if there's something I am not, and I don't think any of us are, is the, you know, we've all been through enough with Leicester to know that we're not entitled to anything. But I do think we've earned the right to be confident this season with the team we've got. So I would like to apologise to anyone that thinks we feel entitled, because we don't, but
I do.
We do think we're good.
I do as well, Killer. Hold on, Norm. I think you're in a minority.
Okay, so sorry.
I don't want Gareth listening anyway. I don't like it. Only joking, Gareth.
Yeah, Killer, do you actually, let's take Gareth's point seriously. Do you feel entitled, or were you joking?
Now you've said you do, I don't anymore.
Well, just to be completely obvious. All right, I'll tell you why I do.
Given the fact that me and Norm secretly hate you.
Yes. I don't think secretly. There's nothing secretly about it.
That's the only thing.
Like reffing two chimps here.
That's the only thing we are entitled to feel, in my opinion.
This is a much better show than reviewing games, isn't it, that everybody's watched?
Well, not when we lose them. It's actually quite interesting. Gareth, I'm sorry. I do feel a bit entitled. I did when we went into League One, and I do now. I'm sorry about that. I just do. But the other two don't. So there you go. Killer, should we talk about another? I mean, he's got to go, isn't he, Enzo? He's got to go.
You'd have thought so. Writing on the wall. I think, and it's time for Enzo to go. It's time for Pep to go. Jurgen Klopp's time's up as well. Yeah, it's... But look, obviously I was really interested to see the social media reaction to all this yesterday. And as usual, it's kind of like a little bit mind-blowing, really. We've had two tough games and we've lost them both. And that's disappointing. But put it into context, and you have to, because obviously we'll look at the game in isolation. We'll look at there's no plan B, there's no this, there's that. Vardy came on with 5 minutes to go, and there's lots to pull out of it, and there's obviously lots that we need to get stuck into. But I still come back to the objective of the club at the beginning of the season was to get us promoted. We needed to get back in the Premier League. We've hit the last international break of 2023. We're top of the league. We're 8 points clear of third spot. If we just look at that, we would turn around and say, everything's fine and dandy. Two tough games. We've lost them both. That's disappointing. We'll talk again about who we've got coming up. But again, you look at the fixtures, and you look who's coming. Watford, Sheffield Wednesday, West Brom, Plymouth, Birmingham, Millwall. Nobody there that's going to make you sweat too much. So it is disappointing. From my point of view, I think what's disappointing, we shouldn't have lost on Saturday. I mean, it's an absolute world-class goal. It's probably going to take a world-class goal or a really bad defensive error for us to lose. I don't think we deserve to lose. I thought the game had a draw written all over it. We might have actually edged it, certainly in terms of chances. My point of annoyance, I suppose, is we've got three strikers on the bench and we're losing a football match and one comes on with 5 minutes left. I'm scratching my head at that one. I'll be honest with you. I'm scratching my head at the rigidity of the team sometimes. Is there an alternative? Is there a plan B, whatever you want to call it? Not quite so sure about that. To some extent, there are still, I think, over the course of the last couple of games, more questions than answers. But I will come back. I am not throwing my toys out of the pram. We're in decent shape. And when we come back from this international break, I suspect with the six games that we've got coming up, we'll be looking pretty good as we go through the Christmas break.
Yes, it's another game, Norm, isn't it, where you know, I don't think we've not been the better side in any game. A possible exception of Leeds, actually. Probable exception of Leeds. I think we disagreed about that last week. But it's another game we've dominated. And it's another game we've hit the woodwork when we've lost. But it's another game we haven't scored in. And we did talk a bit about it last week, didn't we? And what I was interested to see is that he's pushed Pereira even further up the field. So he started this season as a right back. He's become inverted. He's pretty much played that game not far off a number eight sort of position. I wonder if he's going to be the solution at number nine by the end of the season.
You never know. I don't think it actually worked, to be honest. I think I would have preferred to have seen Pereira stay where he is because he's been fantastic playing that role. And I would have liked to have seen McAteer come in the centre for Cassaday instead and have kept Fatawu. But look, we know that Enzo, he chops and changes. The reality is I haven't got a problem with that. And I'm with Killer. I'm not in any way, shape or form panicking, but not scoring for two games is a bit of a concern. But, you know, I actually read something that Harry Winks was saying, and he said, look, it's not like we've not created the chances to score. We've just not put them in the net. Obviously, the idea of football is to score goals. But I suppose where we would be concerned is if after these games we were looking back and thinking, actually, we probably didn't create any opportunities to score, then that would be more of an issue. So I think Killer's absolutely right. It's taken a world-class goal to beat us. That, you know, both goalkeepers, to be fair, have made some good saves. Iheanacho could easily have had a brace. I think a draw or a Leicester win would have been the fairer result. I think the thing that I'm taking out of it really is that just our defending a little bit again from set pieces. So, I mean, the Leeds goal came from a set piece. The near post header that Hermansson made a fantastic save from. It was, you know, again, slightly, you know, poor marking and giving them a little bit too much space. So I think we've still got a little bit to look at in that area. But yet again, it's a game that we've only conceded one goal. You know, we've yet to concede more than one all season in the league. And if we continue that, then we will be okay because we will score goals. You know, we will find that form. And I kind of wonder really whether these two defeats might actually be, it's going to sound strange, almost a blessing in disguise, because I know I, for one, was getting really excited about winning every game in the entire season apart from Hull. And maybe this is just, you know, bringing us back down to earth a little bit, and we'll refocus the players and then we can kick on with some, I mean, no games are easy, but the run we've got is certainly not as coming up, is certainly not as challenging as the last couple of games we've had. And I think with that in mind, Killer's absolutely right. I suspect that come Christmas time, we'll be heading into the very tough game on Boxing Day at Ipswich, still in a very, very healthy position.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. I mean, Killer, Norm's just said we will score goals. I mean, why will we score goals? You know, we're not spanking anyone 4-0, 5-0. Ian Acho doesn't look like he can and buy a goal in this division. Vardy, we're not playing to his strengths. Tom Cannon is pretty much back from injury, I think. It's probably not, you know, just in time because we've got the Cup of Nations coming along as well. Daka can't get anything other than those weird 5 minutes he had. I'm not quite as bullish. I'm as bullish as Norm is that we're going to be fine. I'm not bothered about that yet. But I'm not quite convinced that there's suddenly going to be loads of goals come in.
1st of October, Blackburn 1, Leicester 4, Leicester 3, Preston 0, Leicester 2, Stoke 0, Swansea 1, Leicester 3. It's all there. It's all there in front of you. I think it's a blip. I think this team has got goals in it. I think it's demonstrated it's got goals in it. We've played two tough opponents. We were poor against Leeds. I thought we were slightly unlucky against Middlesbrough. Am I worried that Leicester City are going to remain on not scoring? It's been two games, guys. Let's just get that into perspective. It has been two games. I just don't think in football you can make any massive generalisation about two football matches because, as we all know, look what happened to Manchester City a few weeks ago. You know, when they've gone and lost to Wolves and they've lost a couple of other games and suddenly people, could be Arsenal's year. No one's saying it anymore. So I just think we have got goals. I do think there's goals in that team. I do think they'll click. I do think the international break's probably come at a good time just for us just to step back and just take stock of things, maybe Enzo to take stock of things before the games come back thick and fast. Will Leicester City have a problem scoring? I hope I'm wrong. I'm going to say no, Tim.
I'm just thinking back to Killer's mate in the pub, Norman, Mr. Who's going to score us 13 goals. He's still confident on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think we still have the joint second highest league scorers in our division. So, like Killer says, it's two games. And again, I'll go back to the point. We didn't create a lot against Leeds, but we had a couple of half chances in the KDH header at the end. But against Borough, we could certainly have scored three. You know, maybe even four. I mean, I'm not saying, again, not expecting them all to go in, but the point is we had chances to score. And if we were in a position at the moment where we were able to put these chances away, we would have scored goals. And that's why I'm not concerned, because we're not coming into this podcast thinking that's two games on the trot, we've created absolutely nothing. You know, I think we are lacking a bit of creativity. I'm not denying that. And as I've said before, I'd like us to be a bit more direct sometimes and go for the jugular rather than continuing to pass it around at the back at a slow pace. But this is the way we're playing. We do create chances. We have scored goals all season. It's a blip rather than anything else. So not worried and confident that we will score, well, certainly hopefully the next game we play.
Yeah, which of course is not for another 2 weeks. So we've got another wonderful and exciting international break coming up. So we won't be doing a show next week, folks. If you do want to take the opportunity to stay in touch and email us, it's leicestercitypubcast@gmail.com, and we'll keep your email confidential, of course, and let us know what you think and what you want us to talk about. Yeah, I'm Killer, as you said as well. I mean, there's various ways you can cut this. We paid 16. So the season is slipping along, actually. We played 16 now, but out of the top six, we've played everyone now except Ipswich. So I think, you know, you can cut it various ways going down the league. But I think on balance, we've got probably an easier end to the first half of the fixtures rather than a harder one.
Yeah. You just get the feeling We just need to improve a little bit, don't we? There's no doubt that we've had some great performances. I thought we were great against Southampton, really good against Blackburn, really good against Preston. The form looks like it's slumped. I think one of those things is really is all of the hype that's been around Leicester City. To some extent, I suppose this was going to be inevitable, wasn't it? Because all of a sudden, we went from the biggest name in the Championship. But of course, that doesn't mean anything. And teams have often, when they've gone down, have faltered and just become and just crashed and burned. We didn't. We've gone down and we've absolutely kicked ass. Now, all of a sudden, it's kind of like this could be the best team that's ever played in the Championship with the best squad, blah, blah. We become everybody's cup final. But I think beyond that, I think also teams turn round and almost like Leicester City coming up in 2 weeks' time. Let's already start thinking about that. It's a huge game. Is there a way that we can play against them? To some extent, I feel like because we do play in a certain way, teams are just getting a little bit canny about how they play against us. Not necessarily should we definitely beat them, but should we actually definitely not get a spanking? And you just look at what's gone on recently. I thought we were a bit iffy against Sunderland, iffy against Leeds. Obviously didn't quite get going against Middlesbrough, but played fairly well. It just feels a little bit like there's a blueprint to how to play Leicester City. And I think that's something for Enzo and his team to chomp over during the course of the international break.
Yeah, three Northeasters. We did say at the end of last week, if we could have a regionalised championship and not have to play teams from Leeds and further northeast, we'd be absolutely fine, wouldn't we? So just that has caused us the problem. Just to put things in balance, it's the best start joint now with Ipswich, which I'm going to come to you about, Norm, just to check how worried you are about Ipswich. I've said from the start, I'm not quite convinced that we're definitely going to win the league, by the way, Gareth, just on the entitlement front. But it is the best start after 16 games that a team has ever made to the Championship, still despite the two defeats. Obviously, joint with Ipswich, replacing Norm.
Replacing who?
Who had the best start after 16?
Oh, was it Berry?
Berry? What, in the Championship?
Oh, I was thinking of it all time. Oh, no.
Berry went busting.
No, it would probably have been Fulham.
No, go on. You can have a couple more. Have a go. A couple of goes, killer.
Oh, I thought for some reason Bristol City got the best ever champ start.
I can't believe neither of you have said Reading, by the way. It's actually not Reading.
It's not. No, I know it's not Reading. I did read it somewhere, and that's why I thought it was.
One more guess each, Norm.
Wolves.
No.
I don't know them.
Killer.
Don't know.
All right, I'll have a guess. Sheffield United. Yes, well done, Tim. It's Sheffield United.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Very good, Tim.
I don't remember that one. Do you remember it?
Well, the thing is, when you get older, if you just notice that you can remember every single game of the 1978 season. You can remember every page of the Panini soccer album. But I was literally driving along last night and could not, for the life of me, remember who Manchester City beat in last season's Champions League final. In fact, I still don't know. But anyway.
Oh, no, I don't
go
know.
On, go on, Norm.
They were hot favourites. I remember that.
Do you know what? I can't remember either.
This is what I mean.
I'll look it up, Norm, while you answer me whether you're worried now about Ipswich.
No.
But why not?
Because they drive tractors.
No, look,
I think they're doing fantastically well. So it'd be remiss of me to say I don't want to sound entitled. I think we're a better team than them. I think the big thing for them is that I don't think they have the squad of players that we have. And I think in the end they will fall away a little bit. I don't think Ipswich will get automatically promoted. I think it will be Leicester and Leeds. Ipswich play Leeds and Leicester in consecutive games just prior to Christmas, and they play Leeds, I think, on the 23rd, and is on the Boxing Day. Now, ask me after that.
Killer, who's going straight up? Top two.
Inter Milan.
It was Inter Milan, yeah.
That's right, yeah. Oh,
sorry.
top two, killer.
Look, I've got to be honest. I haven't seen a great deal of Ipswich, but I mean, you can't argue, because if you notice, they've completely slipped under the radar. They're never on TV.
Yeah, I think their midfield's very good. They've got
they've got a great manager. They're not going to be far off. I thought Leeds played really well against us, and I thought they looked well managed, well coached. So I'm going to go for Leeds. Of course, 16 in, you're quite right, but they've got 30 left. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a big
okay. Ball. Well, while we're chatting about whether we will or will not get promoted, then I mean, this is my dilemma from. That I didn't get to do last week, actually. So, my dilemma. I don't think it's a particularly tough one, if I'm honest. So, but anyway, let's assume that Ipswich and Leeds finish above us this season. If that happens, though, that guarantees Forest are relegated. But obviously, what will also happen in the playoffs is that we will not get promoted. So, this season. Forest get relegated, but we do not go up. But if that does happen, we will go up as champions next year with a record points total. Or this year we get promoted in second place.
Hold on a minute. That first bit was very, very long. Mm. Just summarise that.
Okay. All right. Okay. So
I'm still thinking of Inter Milan.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, so this year we don't get promoted this year, but that guarantees Forest get relegated. But we will guarantee that we do get promoted next year. So okay. We know that in 2 years' time, next season we are promoted, but we do not get promoted this year and Forest are relegated.
Yeah.
Or we get promoted this year in second place.
Well, you know my answer to that, don't you? Because I hate the Premier League.
Yes, you'll get promoted. You'll get promoted next year.
I'll just permanently stay down.
I'd go up, Norm. I really don't like Forest and Derby, but look, we've got to get back out. We've got to get back into the Premier League, despite what Killer says.
Okay, I'm very.
We've just got to keep fighting the battle.
What
I was going to
talk. You, Norm?
I would basically prefer to go straight up. But I thought you'd be say what you said, Killer. I thought Tim would definitely have Forest relegated.
Okay, do you want my dilemma for the week, Tim?
Yes, please.
Okay. Now, it's this. I'm going to give you two options. Option one: Leicester City guaranteed to get promoted. Option two: Leicester City aren't guaranteed to get promoted, but what is guaranteed is 3 trips to Wembley before the end of May.
3 trips to Wembley.
3 trips to Wembley before the end of May. So you can work out what that means.
2 cups and a playoff, yeah?
No.
No, I'm going for...
Oh, no, we're out of a cup. Hold on.
No, yeah. I know what I'm going for. I would go for the 3 trips to Wembley. I'd go for the 3 trips to Wembley.
And roll the dice on the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you know what the 3 trips to Wembley would be, wouldn't you, Tim? I mean, I know obviously you appear to be the slowest man on the planet.
I'm feeling very, very slow because I'd forgotten we got knocked out of the league. So you win it. Yeah, so FA Cup.
It'd be semi-final of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wembley. So you've obviously guaranteed to win that. So it's an FA Cup final and a playoff final, but you're guaranteed neither of them.
No, not for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Norm?
No, take that. Absolutely the 3 trips to Wembley.
I don't think that's a brainer.
You take the 3 trips to Wembley, Norm, with no guarantees of winning anything?
Yes, because I'd rather... The whole point is winning things. And if you're in the FA Cup final, you've got a chance of winning the FA Cup. I'd take the winning the FA Cup this season rather than getting promoted to the Premier League.
I think it'd be a major achievement in an era where, generally speaking, FA Cup finals are contested by big, big clubs.
And we'd win the playoff final as well. Because we are entitled to do so.
Killer, on the point Norm's just made then, would you... I know you're going to say you'd take winning the FA Cup, wouldn't you, ahead of going up?
Yeah.
That then becomes much closer for me, but I think I'd still get up. I just don't want another season here.
Really? Really?
I really hope Gareth's not listening now. I'm feeling mad about it.
To me when Leicester City won the FA Cup.
I know.
Wasn't that just one of the most incredible things?
It was. It was.
We embraced each other like friends that day.
It's amazing how football can pull people together, isn't it? It is a close one, Matt, because if you say another bit of silverware, but then you just, I don't know, that the teams that won the FA, I'm thinking, because we've banked it now, right? If you've asked me that before, we've won it, Killer. It's a no contest.
I think what would change it for me is if you turn around and said, we win, you know, we've got that option, potential to win the FA Cup, but guarantee that we don't get to the Premier League for another 10 years. That would alter it for me. But I'm still confident enough that I would look at what we've got here and I would take that risk, because I think that if the risk didn't pay off, and it would have paid off because you've had three trips to Wembley, it'd have still been great. I still think that we'd be okay next year.
So we would be guaranteed a semi-final win. You can't imagine we're going to play against the Championship club, can you? So it's likely you've gone as massive underdogs in the FA Cup semi-final, and you've rolled over a Prem team. Wow, that'd be something to toast, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but then next November we're talking about playing Watford, aren't we?
What, as opposed to, but I mean, okay, let's take this through worst case. let's look at the three relegated teams. Let's just imagine if this was a Sheffield United or Burnley podcast. Now, how do you think they're feeling? Do you think now they would readily accept, let's just get out of the Prem. We can't win a game for love nor money. Burnley, the only game they've won is against Luton. They've had six or seven home games this season and lost the lot. I mean, how long can you carry on with a smile on your face as a fan before you go, wasn't it just better last season?
Well, I think we found that out last year, didn't we? Because it was miserable last season. But Norm has often said on this podcast, we're better than those two teams. If we play those two teams on a neutral venue tomorrow, we're odds-on favourites. I'm absolutely confident
about
that.
Just lost to Middlesbrough, just lost to Leeds.
No, but we are. I think
lost to Middlesbrough. That we've played so far this season, outwardly, the two toughest games, and we'd have said that. If somebody turned around and went, here's your first 16 games, fellas, said this to us in August, pick your toughest two, it would have been those two. We've lost them.
Yeah, we have lost them, but we're still top of the league. But I would say that
are we saying that Leicester City are flat track bullies then? Leicester City, fine if you go away to Blackburn, fine if you go away to Swansea, they're rubbish, they're pedigree champ. You play against a team that are half decent, well managed, well organised. Oh, guess what? You've lost them both. How does that translate to the Premier League, which is another level? I mean, how do we think Middlesbrough and Leeds would get on in the Premier League, for instance? I suspect not great, and we've just lost them both.
But I was thinking about that, not so much Middlesbrough, but I think Leeds. Let's say at the end of this season, Leicester, Leeds and Ipswich go up, one of them through the playoffs. Yep. That is a stronger group of... And this is the frustration about not having stayed up last year. That for me, that three, Leicester, Leeds and Ipswich, are a significantly stronger group than Burnley, Sheffield United and Luton. And I think those three are going to come down with the lowest combined points total that three teams have ever come down with. They're all out of their depth. And they were before the season started. I don't think we would be out of our depth.
Would you genuinely say that about Burnley? Because I thought everybody was buzzing about Burnley. They've just got three figures amounts of points. They've got a talented young manager who's come in with us. We've got them playing well. Did we think they would literally just implode quite how they have?
Did you, Norm?
Got 4 points, haven't they?
No, I don't think I thought they'd be as quite as bad as they have been. I thought of all the teams, they were the ones that would have the best chance of staying up. But it doesn't surprise me. I don't think there was anything there that made me think they will do well. I didn't think they'd be doing quite as badly. I think Sheffield United and Luton, I mean, I think Luton are doing better than I thought, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I think they have actually won a game, and they nearly, I mean, credit to them, they nearly beat Liverpool as well. I think I just wonder whether shock of all shocks, Luton might actually end up being the one team that does put a real sort of like effort into to stay up. I think that they haven't got the quality of player, but they absolutely play as a team. They might just surprise a few people. But I think you're right, Tim. I think that if you look at the bottom four, I know Bournemouth had a great result against Newcastle, but I think ultimately you're looking at a very, very low combined average score, without a doubt. You know, you're spot on there.
Yeah, coming back to the sort of topic of your dilemma, Killer, because I know what, leave the VAR thing aside, because I think your point on that is hilarious and well made, actually, but not to the point of not going up. So we would put that to one side. I don't think next season would be anything like as bad as last season was. The mood around the club's changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, let's just imagine. Again, we're talking hypothetically here. We'll never know. So let's just make a few assumptions. Let's assume the three promoted teams go down from the, we go up, and let's say Ipswich go up and Leeds go up. Okay. Now, all of a sudden, you could say that's actually three strong. So you'd imagine, therefore, Ipswich it's been a sustained period of success throughout the season. Therefore, all of the question marks about their quality have been ironed out. So you would fairly confidently say that those three teams should be able to stay up. Now you're talking, actually, it's quite competitive, isn't it? Because it looks like Dyche has now sorted out the problems at Everton. I don't know about Bournemouth. I do think they will go sooner rather than later. Forest, it looks like the owner's just happy to keep spending money. Palace don't look like they're necessarily going anywhere. They'll give Roy another season. I don't know. I just look at it and I think to myself, oh, blimey. Unless we really do something in the transfer window, 100%, I think, for Leicester, bottom five.
You see, I don't. Fulham as well, by the way, the only team at the bottom that you missed out. But I don't see it like that. I don't think any of those teams that you've mentioned would bother me. What about you, Nom?
I think we'd be okay, but it would depend on us improving and strengthening in the transfer window. So I think this team would stay up this year. I think, like what Killer's alluding to, is the fact that the three shocking teams will be out of the Premier League next season, and there won't be the Premier League next season will be tougher than this season. I think, therefore, I think we could do quite well if we got promoted. And when I say quite well, I mean not be in a relegation battle. But I also think we could very easily be in a relegation battle. I mean, I think it would very much depend on who stayed, who we've bought, and before we could really make any sensible predictions on that. Just to go very briefly back to Killer's dilemma again, of course, it also means that we probably would be playing European football, because it's likely if we lost the FA Cup final, we would be losing it to one of the teams that are probably, therefore we would be playing Champions League football, European football, possibly in the Championship if we lost that playoff final. And of course, you could probably just stay in London for a few days, couldn't you, and just go, or live at Wembley just for a while.
Well, a bit like we did in the 90s. I mean, I just lived at Wembley in the 90s when Brian Little was manager.
Brilliant time. They were a brilliant time. Yeah, I don't know. It comes back to this thing, and I just think we've graduated onto another level, and we're having a blip of not being in it. But we'll look more detail at the January transfer window a bit nearer the time, although we'll be into December by the time we do our next podcast. But thought across my mind, I mean, we talked about Winks and the various valuations for him a week or so ago. The player I would worry a little bit about losing, because he's become so important to us, and he could just slot into a top draw Premier League team very easily if he's now over his injury issues, Norm, would be Pereira.
Yeah, but I don't think he... Yeah, he's one of these players that teams won't be looking at. He's a bit older now. I just think that because of his injury issues, he's not going to go to one of the top teams anymore. And therefore, I think it's unlikely he would particularly want to leave Leicester if we were in the Premier League. I don't think he's going to want to leave Leicester to go to a Brentford or even to a Brighton or a team like that. I think he would...
Villa?
But I think Villa are doing very well, but I don't think they would be looking at a player like him. Like I say, next year is another year on. He would be a bit older. And whilst at his peak, he was absolutely brilliant. And he's doing very well again now. It's probably a big risk and would probably be a bit too much money for someone to really push the boat out. Or rather a team that he would want to move to.
It's interesting about the injury. What about you, Tim?
30 years old, killer is.
But it's interesting about the injuries, isn't it? Because I think injuries now play such a huge part in terms of a team's assessment of a player. And I think that is because of the enormous wages, the transfer fee, the signing on fee, the agent's fee, that I think they're looking at. And the interesting thing about James Maddison is, of course, we were all scratching our heads, incredulous, about how did he manage to go for such a low amount. But actually, I do wonder whether or not his fairly wretched injury record did put a lot of clubs off. And guess what's happened? Out till January. Mm. And it's almost like, is that surprising? Well, it isn't, though, is it? Because he has got a track record of plays 10, 12 games and he goes down. It's like his body will give up on him. There's nothing he could do about it. It's just the way it is. And I think it would be the same with Pereira. I think your technical director and all those people that would literally pore over stats before they decided to splash out on a player, even if it would be a relatively low level, because let's be honest, in Prem numbers, we'd want 15 for him, wouldn't we? 20 million. Then he gets 5 million signing on fees. Agent takes 5 million. He's going to want a bumper salary. Before you know it, it's going to cost the recipient club 40 mil. And all of a sudden somebody goes, just run your finger down this fella's injury track record. And not just that, sometimes he's come back from injury and been rubbish. He appears to have had this sustained period, doesn't he, which he hasn't had for ages, and he's starting to look good. Again, if I think you're a Prem club, you go, yeah, starting to look good in the Championship. Don't get too carried away about this.
Yeah.
Just don't think anyone's going to touch him.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I think he's so versatile, isn't he? I don't think we've talked about who players that might be player of the year so far, but I'm not quite sure he's in that category. But he's just so versatile that he's really important. I wouldn't want him to... Yeah, I mean, we talked about Winks and McAteer before, didn't we? I think they're probably ahead of him so far, but not by much. But it's his versatility. And I wouldn't want him to go for 15 to 20 million. I really wouldn't. I think that'd be a lot. I'll let you two have the rest of the show to think about it. For me, Maddison's been the Premier League player of the year so far. I take your point about the injuries, killer, and I think you might be right there. But I'll let you have the rest of this show just to think if you can think of a better candidate for that.
I think you're probably right. I don't know. But the interesting thing is, by the time he laces his boots up again, will he still be the best player in the Premier League at that point? And what I mean by that is somebody would have played 6, 7, 8 games more than then, and somebody would have no doubt really kicked into gear. Interesting. I don't know. But by the way, I know occasionally we come off piece and so what, because it's a football show. But interesting. I mean, I don't know if you watched the Chelsea-Manchester City game yesterday, which was absolutely rip-roaring. But did you hear the Rodri stat?
No.
That Rodri hasn't been in a losing league Manchester City team since February.
Yeah, they don't lose money.
Absolutely astonishing stat.
Yeah. It really was a brilliant game.
The last game of football he lost, by the way, was against Scotland.
That's a brilliant start. You should have asked that as a question.
Yeah, should have done. Yeah.
Go on, killer. I'll give you a chance to redeem yourself missing that one, because you gave me another brilliant stat last week about was it Derby in the EFL Trophy?
Yeah, it's a sad day for Derby, wasn't it, Norm? Did you notice they were playing? They actually got to the point where they played a fully competitive game. This is a team, by the way, that, you know, once won effectively the Premier League under Brian Clough. They played a competitive game last week against Wolves under 23s. That's awful. Life. That's awful, isn't it?
That is amusing.
Just if we think losing two on the bounce is a problem. Right, let's look forward a bit. Harry Winks out, Norm, for our next game.
Yeah, so it was always going to come, wasn't it? I mean, he's done very well, to be honest. He's been on four bookings for so long, and I think his booking actually was a little bit harsh. But I suppose, without meaning to be disrespectful, if you're going to miss a game, Watford at home's probably not the worst game to miss. So disappointing, because I think we will miss him. I think he has been the player that's kind of made us tick in general this season, but yeah, disappointing. But you know, I can be pragmatic about it. I would have much prefer him to be missing for this game than have got a booking the match before Ipswich, for instance. So, like, kind of take it and get it out of the way, I suppose.
Yeah, don't disagree with Norm's summary, Caleb, in terms of not a bad game to miss. They're unbeaten in five, though, Watford. What do we do with our midfield in his absence?
Well, for a start, I think it presents an opportunity, doesn't it, in terms of what do Leicester City look like without Harry Winks? Because it just feels a little bit like we've become a bit too dependent on him. Look, there is still a school of thought that says, you know, you've given Hamza Chowdhury this big, fat, new contract. Is he actually a fullback? Should he be given an opportunity in a championship midfield? I wouldn't necessarily have any complaints about him going in the midfield and sticking KDH. Hopefully, Wilf's going to be back at some point. Don't know, Tim. I'd have to juggle that one around, I think, a bit.
Yeah, misled our listeners earlier, Norm, with our now traditional mistake, because our next show is just before the end of November, actually, not into December. But that is a problem, isn't it? The other one, I did think it was slightly odd, going back to our issues up front, that Iheanacho started in the match at the weekend, given that we're about to have a two-week international break where Vardy can put his feet up anyway. I'm assuming he comes straight back in for Watford, Norm.
Not necessarily. I don't think it's anything to do with putting your feet up. I think that Vardy struggled a bit recently, and I think Enzo obviously felt that Iheanacho was the man. And to be fair, although we all know that Adiak and Bayer used to get in good positions to score, you know, Iheanacho has had he has had chances. He's not put them away, which is a concern. But
I just remember Trevor Francis described Adiak Mbaye as the best defensive striker I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very great quote from Trevor Francis. But I mean, the other thing is, Cannon's on the bench and allegedly fit. It would not surprise me at all if he came in for a first stop. To be honest,
that would surprise me. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a bit of game time, because I think we do need to have a look at him ahead of January. I don't think he'd start him, Killer, would he?
I don't think so. Again, bit odd, really. You're losing the game 1-0. Why don't you throw him on against Middlesbrough? There's certain things Enzo does I don't quite get. I'm not saying I don't get them, therefore they're wrong. All I'm saying is I just don't get them. We talked about the Alamo last week. I'm not going to bore everybody about that again. But, you know, the boy's on the bench, therefore he must be fit. I don't know, he could have offered us a bit of a spark. No, I don't think he'll play. I think he will be. It will be Jamie Vardy.
I mean, on that bit of a spark, but I do think that I do find it strange that in the last two games he has only made two substitutions. I mean, he brought McAteer off fairly early for Fatawu, which was fine, but then to not make another substitution, you know, to only have used one. And I know we were dominating the game, and I suppose what he's thinking ultimately is, look, we're in control, we're playing really well, we're pressing, we're looking like we're going to score the winner. You know, why change that? And I suppose I look back on many times, I've wondered, why has the manager made that change? You know, that player's been playing really well, he doesn't deserve to come off. But he does just seem to have a you know, just be confident of his plan A being just doing that a little bit better. It's like there's no proper change. It's just we're going to stick with that, but we just need to be better at it, and therefore we'll just stick with it and we'll just keep going until something happens. And I'd just like to see a few more changes when things aren't quite going our way.
He does odd things. There's no point skirting around this, though. He just does odd things. And, of course, no one's knocking what's been accomplished by the team. But there is no doubt at all that he does things a bit like pushing Pereira right up the pitch. It's odd. It's just odd. You've got three strikers on the bench. You're a goal down and only one gets on. I'm sorry, it's odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be a far better researched show than this to answer this question. But I'm intrigued to know if he's used all his subs this season. Because when we've been in difficult positions, like the last two games, he's just not bothered, has he? He's just said, no, I'll back the players to do it.
I don't think we have used all our subs. We don't really need to use all our subs, do we? Because historically, he's been changing half the team every game. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah. We've touched on this last few. I would like to see a bit of a plan B, not just to get out of little scrapes that we've been in the last couple of weeks, it just to reassure us a bit more about next season if we do get promoted.
Plus, you know, when you're playing, it doesn't really make any difference what level you're playing at, does it? I mean, I remember when I used to play as a defender, you know, sometimes I used to think to myself, either A, I've got this player in my pocket, or B, he's having a reasonably good game, but I feel like I know what he's doing. I feel like I know what he's got in his locker. And sometimes then, when you saw him trudging off and you saw another guy coming on, you went, this is put me back on my toes. That's what subs do, though, don't they? It's kind of like, you know, and you look at Pep doesn't give a monkey's who he brings off at what point. As far as he's concerned, if he feels like I've got a talented player on the bench, he's going to come on. I'm not actually bothered if the player on the pitch is playing that well or not. I've just got total faith that this guy now is going to give you another set of problems. Enzo doesn't do that. Again, it's odd.
Yeah, agree. Got to keep an eye out. Watford have got a player called Aspria, which if he's any good as Faustino, we will have a problem. He's already scored a couple of goals from this season as well. Be interesting to see.
Kiss of death now, haven't you?
Which is just the time, Norm, because it is time for the predictor, which all of us got wrong last week. No surprise. We all thought we'd bounce back. We didn't. If we don't bounce back against Watford, I think we might get Gareth back as a listener because I think we'll all be being a little bit more humble. So I'm intrigued to see whether you think, Killer, we will be bouncing back against Watford.
Well, yeah, I think we are going to bounce back. Are we going to bounce back and score loads of goals? Don't think so. I'm going to go 1-0 Leicester.
No?
Did you know N'Golo Kante's only Leicester goals against Watford?
Oh, that's a good. How do you know? How does he know these things, Kelly? It's incredible that he starts.
This is my oldest son's first ever Premier League match. Anyway, sorry to drift away from the prediction. Yeah, we'll bounce back very comfortably. I'm super confident, super arrogant, and I think we'll score four. And I don't think Watford will get one. 4-0 Leicester.
Bye, Gareth. I'm going to go to 3-1 Leicester. 3-1 Leicester. Tell you what, it's going to be a slightly different show next time if we haven't won that, isn't it? Final thoughts, Killer?
At top of the league.
Norm?
As Ranieri always used to say, we just need to get to that magic 40. That's only one more point.
Still 40 in the championship, or do you need a few more? That's it, folks. We're going to miss next week because of the international fixture, so bear with us for that. We're all off to keel over with excitement at the thought of England playing Malta, and we'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.